are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Kim Mundy from our international economics team. Kim, always good to have you on.
Hi, Belinda. Always good to be here.
So today we're going to talk about the new US President Biden. Now, since he came into office around 2 weeks ago, all eyes have been on what his policy agenda is going to look like. How is he going to fight COVID-19, get the economy back on track? But also there are some other significant policy areas that he's looking at changing. Now, the one that we're going to talk about today is how he's going to tackle climate change. And that seems to be a really important agenda item for him, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, tackling climate change was basically a central element of President Biden's campaign, keeping in mind that the campaign started before the COVID crisis. But we've really seen him reaffirm that commitment since he's entered office. And I guess a good example of that is the fact that 2 out of 3 of the first executive orders that he signed on Inauguration Day were environment related. So he cancelled the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, which was to import tar sand oil from Canada, and he rejoined the Paris Agreement.
He also seems to be getting his Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to play a key role, but also embarking a special envoy in.
So John Kerry will be the special presidential envoy on climate change. And as you said, that's a new role. And really, Mr. Kerry is going to be the face of US climate policy on the international stage. And I think one of the key things about his appointment, which is really important, is that or significant, is that he was the one that helped negotiate the Paris Agreement in 2015. So he's got a lot of sort of sway behind him. And we will be seeing a lot more of him, I think, over the coming years.
So we'll talk soon about what the US climate change goals under President Biden may mean internationally. But first, what does President Biden want to do domestically to control and reduce carbon emissions?
So I guess Biden's overarching goal is that he wants America to be carbon neutral by 2050. And that's really aligning with what a lot of other countries have done. The host of countries now that are targeting net zero carbon emissions by 2050. So he's sort of unveiled a plan or a series of proposals that will help with that. These include things like moving to 100% clean US energy by 2035, as well as a $1.7 trillion investment in a clean energy revolution. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that a lot of Biden's policies are going to need Congress approval because they require changes to legislation. So the Democrats only have a slim majority in the Senate, and that suggests that maybe some of Biden's domestic policies will be challenged slightly, but nevertheless, you know, a net zero emissions US economy is going to look at least somewhat different from today's economy. And it does suggest that there's a period of sort of significant structural change ahead, especially for those carbon intensive sectors of the US economy.
Now, he also looks like he's going to drive some more multilateral efforts globally to try to address climate change. What do you think he's going to do, I guess, on the global front?
Yeah, so President Biden has been quite vocal on the fact that he wants to increase US participation in multilateral efforts, potentially to the point that he wants to be leading the effort as well. So he has announced that he'll hold a Leaders Climate Summit on Earth Day, which is the 22nd of April. We've also had announcements from John Kerry that the US will restart contributions to the Green Climate Fund. Now, this is a UN project which will help developing nations shift to clean technology and also just deal with the costs of more frequent extreme weather events. This was actually has been in place for quite a while, but former President Trump pulled the funding while he was in office. And so there'll be other things that we're likely to see as well, including, you know, some of the well-known multilateral finance institutions, things like the IMF and the World Bank. We're likely to see them be encouraged to really ensure that climate change becomes a top priority when considering development finance. So it's just all of these multilateral sort of organisations that already exist. Climate change is going to just become a more and more central factor in decision-making under President Biden.
It looks like he's also going to put climate change at the centre of US foreign policy. Already, President Biden looks to, I guess, re-establish US's focus globally in terms of, you know, relations and things like that. Is he going to, I guess, escalate the climate change in terms of those foreign policy discussions as well?
We are expecting to see that, and Biden has said that, you know, he wants to exercise the US's leadership to promote a significant increase in global climate ambition. And you know, they're going to focus on those countries who are failing to meet their climate and environmental objectives. So we're likely to see sort of diplomatic pressure being put on countries to work harder on their own climate policies. It's just unclear at this early stage what that pressure might involve. So, for example, President Biden did raise the prospect of a carbon adjustment fee. Now, this is a fee that you impose on carbon-intensive goods or imports from other countries. There's also things like, you know, how climate change might play a role in trade negotiations. So trade agreements that involve supplying the U.S. clean energy sector could be prioritised, and also future trade agreements could be used as a way to sort of open other countries up to US clean technology investment and export. I guess for us, what we're going to be watching is how the US-led leaders' climate summit on the 22nd of April plays out, because it's going to be really interesting to see whether the US chooses to use sticks or use carrots against those countries that it doesn't believe are doing enough.
It's interesting, you've included in your report a table of what countries have committed to a net zero target. So there's a lot by 2050 that have committed to that target. So Canada, Chile, Colombia, the European Union, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, South Korea, Switzerland, the UK and the US have all committed to net zero by 2050. Some countries have actually committed earlier, for example, Norway by 2030. Obviously, the standout on that list is Australia. Now, we have just seen in recent days the government here potentially be open to committing to a net zero target by 2050. But with President Biden, I guess, elevating the importance of climate change, what are the potential impacts for Australia, the potential implications of a renewed focus on climate change globally?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, because really I think what we see is we're focusing on the US and their new climate change policies, but I think it should really be viewed as part of a broad move by multiple countries to prioritise climate action. And so, as you just said, Australia's climate goals are less ambitious when compared to its peers. So I think, you know, it could be expected that the federal government here in Australia will face more pressure to lift climate action now that the US has rejoined the Paris Agreement and committed to that net zero by 2050 target. It is just worth pointing out quickly, though, I guess, that Australian states have individually committed to those targets, but we just don't have a whole of government commitment at this stage, despite the fact that, as you mentioned, we have moved a little bit closer. President Biden's policies are going to, there are going to be some opportunities for Australia, but there are also going to be some challenges, and it's going to be really important for Australian businesses to really take stock of what those are in order to, I guess, navigate this next period of time where climate change policies do become more central for many governments.
So what are some of the opportunities Australia could explore? We just did have in our last podcast with Vivek Dhar talking about green hydrogen. What are some of the other opportunities out there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that will be a really important one. But there's also, I think, Australia is well placed to position itself into US supply chains for things like electric vehicles, for renewable energy and batteries. In the note, we do just point out that, you know, an Australian mining company recently announced it's going to be building a rare earth processing plant in Texas that's actually in partnership with the US Department of Defense. Now, those rare earths are an important input into batteries. So, you know, we're seeing how there are these opportunities from the shift in tactics by the US.
And what about some of the risks out there?
Yeah. Now, there are a handful of challenges that will, you know, that could also present themselves as a result of this. I guess it's worth noting, first of all, that some Australian exports to the US could face a carbon adjustment fee if that was adopted. Interestingly, the same could hold for Australia's exports to the EU, because they've also been talking recently about adopting a carbon adjustment fee. One of the really interesting things is that it's not only, I guess, the pressure to lift climate goals isn't only limited to government. So we're also seeing a growing push from private investors for listed companies to take, I guess, more ambitious climate action. So one of the risks that we're, wary of is that some Australian businesses could face higher funding costs, even if their climate policies align with the Australian federal government's policies, because, you know, as we've been saying, within the current sort of global context, Australia's domestic policies are falling short of expectations of most of Australia's economic partners. One of the areas we think this could be significant is the fact that Australia has historically run a current account deficit, which really just implies that Australia is dependent on foreign capital to fund local investment. So there is that risk that Australia could face a higher cost of finance if its policies are judged to be too far away from, I guess, acceptable global norms. We've seen examples along the lines of BlackRock, who's the world's largest asset manager. They've recently warned that they're going to, you know, divest holdings of companies that are not focused on the net zero transition. And we also saw Sweden's central bank back in 2019 sell holdings of Australian subnational government bonds because it didn't want exposure to carbon-intensive economies. So these are real risks that Australian businesses are going to need to really pay close attention to.
And it's just obviously a clear reminder that Australia is a small open economy, will mm-hmm. be impacted irrespective of what our policies are here.
Exactly. So Australian exporters or companies that are dependent on foreign capital are going to really need to watch how climate policies and major export and funding markets develop, rather than just focus on what's happening here in Australia.
It's certainly an interesting area to watch, and really does fit in with some recent thematic or podcasts and papers that we've done on the topic, including that one I mentioned with Vivek on hydrogen, and also the one we did with Joseph Caperso on the circular economy. Kim, great to get your insights as always.
Thanks, Belinda.
Now, you can read Kim Mundy's report that was published on the 4th of February 2021, titled "Will US Climate Policy Result in a Sea Change for Australia?" And that can be read on combankresearch.com.au.